Hello, and welcome to the Church on the Hill podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to join us live this Sunday at 500 Sands Drive in San Jose, California. Visit churchonthehill.com for service times and directions, and also to learn more about connecting, growing, and serving at Church on the Hill. Now let's join lead pastor Scott Simorok as he teaches at Church on the Hill.
All right. I'm so glad that you're with us. I did want to make this statement, though, that a week ago, I made this prediction from the stage. I said, November 1st, we're going back indoors, because November 1st, it's going to snow in San Jose. Why are you laughing? Yesterday, I went on one of the many various weather apps on my phone, and I pulled about the third one that I pulled up. It said this: here's the 10-day forecast. And on next Sunday, it showed for the first time in months rain coming to San Jose. Now, that's a step. It's just going to get colder, and it's going to snow in San Jose next Sunday, which is why we're moving indoors. So the first 100 people to register for that, you can join us, and it'll be great. Today, we're going to start a new series called Toxic. We're going to start a new series called Toxic that's about healing the poisonous relationships in our lives. And we'll just start with this. The guy's name was Mike Rudd. He was a business owner in Avila Beach, California. And he purchased this plot of land. And when he purchased this land, he was going to put a new commercial building there. So they started digging down deep. And when they got about 15 feet down into the earth, they struck oil. And not the Beverly Hillbillies kind of good oil, right? Oh, look, we're rich. They struck 22,000 gallons of crude oil, diesel fuel, and gasoline that had quietly seeped into the soil of the earth. And it had been seeping there for decades from the Unocal Corporation. If you had ever been in Avila Beach back in the 70s and 80s, up on the hills were these huge oil tanks, and they piped all of this oil underground through these pipes to the harbor, where they would be put on these ships and transported. But somewhere along the way, these pipes started leaking. They slowly started leaking toxic chemicals into the soil. Now, Mike Rudd, he discovered this in 1989 when they started building the foundation for his new building. It was new to him, but it wasn't new to Unocal. They knew that their pipes were leaking way back in 1977, 12 years earlier. Why do I tell you that? Here's what I want you to recognize. No one recognizes a toxic leak on day one, right? It has to leak for a long time before we ever take notice of it. In fact, toxicness can last for years before anybody pays attention to it. And when it is discovered, here's the truth: nobody actually wants to deal with it or solve it or fix it until it becomes unbearable. It's part of what we're going to talk about in this series. So here's my invitation. Let's deal with what's toxic. Let's deal with what's toxic inside of us that lives there. Now, there's some good news, and then there's some not so good news. The good news is this: today, Avila Beach is a thriving community. It literally has rebuilt everything. That's the good news, that it's possible to survive a totally toxic season. Here's the not so good news: it costs Unocal $200 million to do the cleanup. And I'll tell you this: to do the toxic cleanup inside of you that God wants to do, it will cost you something. It will cost you some emotional energy. It will cost you some time. It will cost you some focus. But here's the truth. Your emotional toxicity has actually already cost you. It's cost you more, actually, at this point, than it will take to clean up. What I mean by that, it's cost us our peace, hasn't it? It maybe has cost us relationships. It's cost us trust. Here's the truth. For some of you, your toxicity might have cost you a job. Maybe it's cost you unity in your family and your churches. So here it is. I want us to embrace the fact that we can clean up the toxic nature of who we are and the poisonous relationships it's led to. But understand that instead of ignoring it, we have to make some effort so that you and I can create Avila Beach 2.0 inside of our own souls. So here we go. Ready? Galatians chapter 5. That's where we're going to start. And I know this is the temptation, is for you to go, just tell me what it says. I will, but open your Bibles. Oh, I love it. I see people, they have Bibles open in their laps. Digital paper, I don't care, but pull it open because I want you to see this for yourself so you can look at it this week. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul writes about healthy relationships. Listen to what he says. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's so not complicated. He's like, here's what I want you to do. Just love people the way that you love and take care of yourself. That's a healthy relationship. But then he goes on to say, listen to what a toxic relationship sounds like. Verse 15. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Toxic relationships destroy each other. Now, make sense of this. They don't blow up overnight, right? I mean, toxic relationships slowly poison the healthy ground where relationships are supposed to grow. Marriages don't implode overnight, right? Slowly, just things become toxic between two people until one day the toxicity becomes unbearable. And one person calls it out. They say, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. Or even worse, they make a decision to show that they're done by leaning into a different relationship. It doesn't happen overnight, but at some point, everything implodes. The church in Galatia, why would Paul write this? Well, he writes it because they're experiencing toxic relationships. So he's addressing this in chapters 5 and 6. So here's where we're going to go. We're going to spend a month taking a look at chapters 5 and 6 in Galatians and asking, how do we go from toxic to God healing our relationships, our poisonous relationships? So here's where we're going to start today. How can we identify a toxic soul and keep it from poisoning our relationships? Hey, I'm curious, raise your hands if you've ever seen the show Survivor. Yes, lots of you. Raise your hand if you love watching Survivor. Okay, I love the show. Here's why. To me, it looks like a vacation. I mean, to go out there, you're on a beach, right? I mean, you're going to go spearfishing for your dinner, open up coconuts, and like, it just sounds fun. I know people lose all kinds of weight and it looks unhealthy, but I don't know, it just sounds fun. Season 5, Thailand, right? It was the first season that they had brought a pastor, a lead pastor of a church, on the show. And I was slightly terrified because of this. Whatever this guy represented, whatever his personality was, whatever he did on that show, I'm like, people are forever going to look at him and think, oh, that's what lead pastors are. And so I was hoping he was going to be awesome and he would like represent us really, really well. His name was Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike was from Louisiana. Anybody from Louisiana? Perfect, then I can say this. My hopes weren't high when I found out he was from Louisiana. Sorry to Louisiana and everyone out there. this guy, Pastor Mike, he thought when they divided up into teams, he was on a team of 8, there's another team of 8. He thought he was like the greatest asset on the team. Because think about this, what better person to create camaraderie, a community, a group of people that could stick together through hard times than a lead pastor, right? Don't laugh, that is the wrong time to laugh. Pastor John, he was confident that his survival skills that he had worked on in Louisiana, they were top notch, and his team was lucky to have him. And then the very first tribal council that his team had the opportunity to vote someone off, they said, bye-bye to lead Pastor Mike. And he was gone. He was totally blindsided. He had the conception in his mind that he was one of the greatest assets to the team, and everyone else saw him as a liability. I tell you that story because of this. It brings up the topic I want to talk about this week when it comes to being toxic, and it's this: self-deception. Self-deception is when you can't see something in you that other people can plainly see. Let me make it simple. Remember American Idol? Always the first couple weeks, they're just being like, you can't even make it into the competition. And there's people in front of them who are singing who couldn't carry a tune in a suitcase, right? But they think that they're awesome and they're not. They're self-deceived. So let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand yet. My question is, do you tend to be self-deceived? Like Pastor John, Do you think that you're one way? I mean, you're a real asset to the people of like Survivor, but other people, they just don't see you that way. You're kind of like the singer on American Idol that doesn't get that you're not quite good at that. And maybe you wouldn't say you're self-deceived. Maybe you would say this: listen, I'm really good at these things. I'm just really misunderstood by a lot of people. That is a sure sign that you might be self-deceived. So here's my question. Let's just be honest. I want you to raise your hand if you think that you have blind spots and you tend to be self-deceived a little bit. Okay, go ahead. Raise your hand. Okay, there's a couple of you out there. Good. I love the honesty. I love it. Next question for you. How many of you know somebody who is totally self-deceived? I mean, they see themselves one way and they just totally, they're not that. I mean, they think they can cook. Yeah, and you've tasted their food. They think they can dance and they have no rhythm. They think they have great taste in music. They think they have great taste in fashion. They think they're really good with people. Or maybe they think that they're an amazing athlete and they can't even tie their shoes, right? Okay, how many of you know people, raise your hand, who just self-deceived? Wow, that's weird. Because when I asked the first question, I saw you raise your hand. Even some of you in your car, like, there's a decent number of you. But when I ask you how many of you know somebody who's self-deceived, there were more of you, which I'm confused. Because that's probably statistically impossible. Unless you and I, we all hang out with the same small group of totally self-deceived people. Let me put this as gently as I can. Those people who raise their hands saying, yes, I know someone who is self-deceived. Listen, I just want to make this clear. This might hurt a little bit. They're talking about you. I know it stings a little, right? I just jokingly tell you that because of this. You and I, every single one of us has blind spots. We're all self-deceived to some little bit. So here it is in your notes, self-deception. It's not about them. It's about what lives in my soul, because I think all of us struggle with this. Let me prove it to you. When I told you earlier and I said, hey, we're going to do a series called Toxic, Healing Healthy Relationships, how many of you thought, oh man, I know some people who really need to be here and hear this? Uh-huh. You're like, oh, I have a coworker. By the way, don't point like, oh, I have a spouse. Yeah, she really needs to hear this or he really needs to hear this. Most of us, very few of us, maybe none of us thought, you know what? I really need to hear this because you know what? I just tend towards self-deception. Like, it's really about the toxicity that lives in me. So here's my invitation. I want us to hold up the verses of Scripture in Galatians. Instead of worrying about the other people, we'll get to them in the weeks to come. But just for today, let's wrestle with self-deception. Let's hold up these verses and look in the mirror of our own souls and say, how much of this lives in us? Because the truth is, whatever actually lives in you, it will rise to the surface at some point in time. And COVID-19 season, woo, it is ripe to rise to the surface. So, what might be contaminating our love? What might be contaminating our joy? What might be turning the peace inside of us that's supposed to be there to make it toxic? What might be eroding our patience or turning our kindness toxic? Self-deception is not about them, it's about us. So here's a quick exercise. At any point in time this morning, if you sense that, you know what, here's a way that I'm toxic, would you do this? Just write it down. You don't have to show anybody. I'm not going to ask you to turn this in. I mean, just write it down somewhere. Type it into your phone that says, I'm toxic when... if anything hits you this morning. So let's turn our attention to the Scriptures where Paul is speaking and ask a few personal questions. We looked at verse 14. Here's a healthy relationship. Love your neighbors yourself. Here's the toxic relationship. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. And then in verse 16, Paul gives us two options. Here's two roads that we can go down. One is about healthy relationships and one's about toxic relationships. Here's what he says. Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. Okay, sinful flesh. Wow, now we're into it. Do you know, recognize the two roads? The first one is this. It's about you and I choosing to follow the Spirit of God that lives inside of us that will direct us to love people in a healthy way. That's one. He calls it walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. The second road is this. You can choose not to do that, and you can follow what he calls following the desires of the flesh or the cravings of the flesh. And he gives us more info on that in the next verse. Look at 17. Here's what the flesh desires. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. The spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the spirit, you're not under the law. So here it is. Two things living in us that are in conflict. One brings health. The other brings something that's toxic. The spirit of God that lives inside of Christians, that is the way, if we follow that, it will bring health. But it's battling something inside of us that he calls the cravings of the flesh. So here's what's good about this. He doesn't leave us wondering like, well, cravings of the flesh, what is that? He turns around and he gives us what the toxic list is. Here it is. The toxic list from Paul. And by the way, if you're at home right now and you have young kids, I would just say this. This might be a great chance for them to go to the fridge and grab a juice box, all right? Young kids, middle school and up, man, you're solid. Stay here. You want to hear this. Verse 19, here's the toxic list. You ready? The acts of the flesh are, he says they're obvious, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and the like. Let's pray and go home. That's quite a list to cover in one day, right? Let me simplify this a little bit for you. He gives four categories. Here's the first one. He starts kind of with a bombshell of sexual sins. You know why he does this? He does this because of what was going on in this community in Galatia 2,000 years ago. In this Greek culture, a part of their pagan worship as the temple is for men and women to join sexually together who were not married. So he writes this. Anything outside of a husband and wife, just, he calls it sexually immoral. And then he says impurity. And by the way, Jesus, remember, he didn't limit impurity to what we did. He's like, if you're lusting, if you're thinking about that, if you're picturing that woman, it's just as bad as adultery. So let's not start judging people. Let's recognize how we get this wrong. Debauchery is simply the meaning of excessive indulgence in sensual pleasure. These will make you toxic. Here's why. You're going to look at another individual and ask, what can I get from them? That's like biting and devouring somebody who you're taking something from them for your own pleasure. He gives a second category. The second category is this, religious sins. Maybe none of you will identify this. Maybe some of you will. He starts with idolatry. Let me poise it this way. Whatever is getting in the way of your worship of the one true God, it's idolatry. Is there anything getting in the way of you worshiping God? Is there anything getting in the way, not just of once a week coming to worship God, but is there anything getting in the way of you daily being with God? And if so, maybe that's actually idolatry. I mean, most of you think when you hear the word idolatry, like, oh, I got a little idol in my house. I don't have any idols in my house. Maybe I'm good. No, no, no. What's standing in the way of you worshiping God and spending time with him? He also uses this word witchcraft, and it's kind of a weird deal. Like, most of you probably don't struggle with witchcraft. This word actually was pharmakia in the Greek, where you get the word pharmacy. It actually originally dealt with drugs, and then it went on to mean the abuse of drugs, and then it went on to change meaning to even say where you try to extract power from things other than God. Let me just be brief on this because I don't know how many people really struggle with this. But do you actually try to extract power from anything other than God? Like, hey, God, what's going to happen in the future? We jokingly open fortune cookies, right, at a Chinese restaurant. And you read it and you're like, oh, look, I'm going to, you know, gain favor at work or get a raise or whatever. But for it's so weird for me when Christians talk about a horoscope. Or things that you're trying to see what the future might hold for you. Those are superstitious. And in this terminology, would fall under a witchcraft category. To say, why would you look for power outside of anything other than Christ? So the third category is this, personal relationships. Some of these are emotions and feelings. Some of these are actions. Here they are, hatred. It's the emotion of hostility that leads to quarreling. Discord. The word for discord is zealous, where we get the word zealous for or zeal. And it means this. Zeal can be good, but in a toxic context, it's zealously pushing for your agenda without concern for the other person. Zealously pushing for your agenda without concern for the other person. Now, in 2020, we just call that politics. Let's move on. Jealousy. I want what they have, which means I can't love them because when I love them, I'm actually loving them to get something from them. Fits of rage. If there was one in this list that might fit our COVID-19 season, this is it. Because people, the rage and the anger that they express, it comes from fear, insecurity, and their lack of control. And I think that describes this season. Selfish ambition, dissensions. Dissension means this: divisions, disputes, disunity. Factions, creating a group that is against another group. Envy, I wish I was more like, I wish I had what they had, and I look down on them for having it. Therefore, I can't genuinely love them. Here's the fourth category. Last two here. Self-control is the category. He just says this: drunkenness. Let's be super clear about this. The alcohol is not the problem. The lack of self-control and drunkenness is the problem. I know some of you grew up in a church where it's like, any kind of alcohol, that's just the devil's brew. Stay away from it. Listen, you do what you want to do, okay? I'm just telling you, it's the drunkenness. But can we pay attention to this for just a moment? I think in the Christian faith today, we go, see, alcohol's not bad. And so there are forms of drunkenness that just go on amongst Christian friends. And Paul would say this: it's part of the toxicity of our souls. It doesn't lead to a healthy relationship. And then he rounds out the entire list with the word orgies and the like. I hope your kid's still getting a juice box. He says, and the like, so it's like, okay, so there's this bad thing, and hey, anything else like it, just let's, it'll be toxic for us, just stay away from it. What he's trying to say is, there's nothing else, like this isn't an all-encompassing list. There's other things that I'm not going to mention, so let's not limit it to this. You know what I find really interesting in Christian communities? That when we look at lists like this, the bookends start with sexual immorality and end in orgies, and we're like, yeah, those are the bad ones. But yet all those emotions of dissension and hatred, he doesn't put them in the middle to hide them in there and pretend like they're not as bad. He puts them all in one list to say, pay attention, all of these are toxic. But I think we come up with some things that are like, oh, no, this isn't nearly as bad as that. And so the ones that I have, they're not as bad as that person who's sitting in the back row back over there. So I'm okay. I think we call that self-deception. I think the point of this is that all of these in this list matter. It leaves all of us guilty, and this list shouldn't leave us looking down on anybody else. So I hope you hear this right now. If you struggle with any of these or any of these are the toxins of your soul, hear me. I'm not looking down on you. I'm right here in this list with you. But there's hope. Let me step into the hope. You ready? The antidote to toxic relationships. You've heard of activated charcoal, right? If you're a parent, you probably have this in your house. If you're a parent of a young kid, because people keep this on hand just in case your kids accidentally poison themselves. Activated charcoal. I actually had to look this up because I wasn't sure what it was. It's this fine black powder made from bone char, carcinogenic shells, peat, petroleum coke, coal, olive pits, or sawdust. That's going to change your life right there. It's when a person consumes poison. Activated charcoal works this way: by absorbing the poisons, but the charcoal doesn't release it into your system, so that when it absorbs it, it actually allows you just to pass the poison right through your system. So when a person consumes this, in their gut they can take this kind of antidote so that the poison doesn't ruin them. And Paul lets us know this: there's an antidote to the toxic nature that lives in you. It doesn't just erase it like it never existed, but it renders it powerless. Look at verse 16. He said this: so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. It's so easy to just read over that and say, oh, it sounds like church language. The number one antidote to the toxicity of our soul is to lean into our relationship with God so that he can bring healing in us. You will not conquer the toxic nature of your soul by focusing on the toxic nature of your soul. Don't think about a yellow buffalo. Don't think about it. Stop it. Don't think about a yellow buffalo. And what are you picturing right now? A yellow buffalo. Everyone has it in their head right now. You don't get rid of toxins by focusing on toxins. You focus on Christ living inside of you, and you lean into him. So I want to give you three questions, okay? I want to be as practical as I can so that we can overcome our self-deception. The first is this. Expose our toxic soul to the presence of Christ in us. When we confess to God, God, I'm toxic in this way, we stop being self-deceived. And the power of that craving starts to get absorbed, if you will, to Christ, because that's why he died on the cross. It begins with forgiveness, but it leads to transformation that he wants to do in us, and it's Christ that transforms us. But we have to lean into him and say, to walk in this spirit is for me to admit that there's something toxic inside of me. The second thing is this. Seek the truth about your self-deception by asking questions. If we're going to admit, you know what, I got some blindness, so just ask four questions. God, how's my soul? God, what's healthy in there? God, what's toxic in there? And God, would you show this to me? How am I being self-deceived? Now, listen. You can go ask your family how you're self-deceived, and they might have a lot of answers. But if your toxic relationships are actually right there, I would suggest not doing that. Don't bypass asking God, trying to get wisdom from other people about how you're toxic. Just ask him, God, what's in my soul? How is it? What's healthy? What's toxic? And how am I being self-deceived? And you can't do that in 2 minutes. It means doing that over a process of days to say, God, show me. Here's the third thing. It's choosing God's way of love, joy, peace, and that list goes on and on and on. Some of you are getting where I'm headed with this. They're called the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God lives in us and we lean into relationship with him, he produces love, joy, peace, patience. See, listen to this. I'll finish with this right here, so just hear me and we're done. When you're in Christ, you have this amazing opportunity. You have the amazing opportunity to choose one of those two roads. To say, God, I can walk down this road that I'm going to fulfill all the cravings of my flesh and I will leave a wake of destruction in my path. Or I can choose to walk in the Spirit of Christ who lives in me. I can lean into that relationship, ask honest questions, ask for his power, ask for his transformation. I have a choice. Because get this, not everybody has a choice. There's some people who've been walking down this road that just says, I'm going to get what I can get when I can get it. And they no longer have a choice. Because even though they go, you know what, I know it's been wrecking me, it's been wrecking other people. But even when I say, I don't want to do that, before I even realize it, I'm doing that thing. And they don't even have a choice over the path that they choose. Christ died. Not only so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be transformed, but so that you could choose him and have that opportunity. It means choosing the way of love and choosing the way of joy and choosing the way of peace and choosing the way of patience. We're going to get into this when we look at the fruit of the Spirit. But today, I just want to look at this one thing. I want to hold these scriptures and his list up to see if any of that toxicity lives in you. I just wanted to push back self-deception just a little bit to say, God, what do you want to do? How's my soul? What's healthy? What's toxic? And am I being self-deceived? By the way, I'm going to invite you to do that this week. Write it down somewhere so you're keeping paying attention and keeping track of like what it is that God is showing that lives in you. And you know what? That sounds like a terrible week, doesn't it? You want me to spend a week like examining the toxic nature of my soul? That sounds awful. Some of you own a garage, right, at your house, and you store all kinds of garbage in there. I mean, and it is cluttered, and you can't walk through it. I'm just self-talking right now. This is my house. You know why we clean the garage? It's not because it's super fun. We clean it because of what's on the other side, that there is space, there is freedom, there is greater joy, there is a simplicity. Can I just say this? If you will walk through and ask God, what is toxic in my soul so that I don't live a self-deceived life? You do that not for the process of going through that, because that ain't no fun. You do it for the joy and what's on the other side of that. The freedom that you're going to have in relationships and the love you're going to be able to express freely without strings attached to it. There is a life on the other side of that that you desperately want. But it will walk through, require you walking through, cleaning up the stuff of your soul. And so let's bow our heads, let's pray for just a moment as we walk into this. God, I pray that today that we really do feel hope, not discouragement. I pray that right now that there really is a sense of hope and freedom, knowing that Jesus, you died to free us from our sin. I know, everybody here knows, God, that there are moments that we see toxic feelings spilling over into our lives. But I pray that this week there'd be tremendous moments of opportunity with everybody who wants to engage in this. And God, that you would reveal very clearly what lives inside of us and do it in such a way that you will reveal to us that your power can cleanse that, forgive that, that there is nothing so toxic that you can't heal it, forgive it, and change it. And we pray that in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.